And good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio. And coming up this weekend, September 22nd and 23rd at Northwestern State University, it's the 9th Annual Louisiana Studies Conference. And the theme this year is Louisiana Landscapes, a presentation of creative and scholarly works. And joining me now on our Knoll Foundation studio is Shane Rasmussen, director of the Louisiana Folklife Center and an associate professor of English at Northwestern State University in Natchitoches. He's going to fill us in on all the details. Shane, thanks for coming up.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So Louisiana Landscapes is your subject this year. Can you give us kind of an overview of what exactly we're talking about?
You know, I don't think there's anyone in Louisiana, or probably even the South, that doesn't have a sense that the landscape has changed them, has made them, in a sense, who they are. And if we expand that out from, clearly we have a rich and unique environmental landscape, but think about those cultural landscapes, you know. I mean, what Faulkner said about religion in the South.
Right.
That whether even if for someone that doesn't believe in God, it's still just there.
Yeah.
you can't escape it, you know. And there's so many other aspects of our cultural and religious and ethnic landscapes and linguistic landscapes. And the thing that intrigued me about Louisiana is, and I knew this would happen, and it did, is that our landscapes are so tremendously rich and varied that I knew we would get just a fantastic array of papers.
Now, you know, you think about back in the day when the earliest settlers came in, European settlers, moving down into what has to be the wettest part of the world, you know, down into that southern swampland of Louisiana.
Right.
The landscape forced them to adapt and change and create a whole new culture.
Yeah, and you know, they made it thrive. And they made it thrive in a way that, I mean, it's famous worldwide as, I think it's Lafayette now is the place that is like the happiest city in the U.S. right now. That's really awesome.
It's a very community-centered community, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. And that recreation is intrinsically tied into this work ethic.
Right.
How did they make the swamp bloom, so to speak? Well, they did it by working hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it by coming together and refusing to let their communities become disbanded.
Right.
And they did it through a cultural identity that Cajun pride is very real. I lived in Lafayette for 6 years. I went to grad school there. And boy, it is just a wonderful and vibrant community.
And, you know, you think about Hurricane Harvey and the Cajun Navy coming
yes.
out. And these folks are heroic, and yet they really don't care about the accolades. They just
no.
did what the heck they had to do.
They downplay it.
Yeah.
You know, they downplay just a fantastic thing that they've done.
Right.
Talk about something that shows the humanism.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the human spirit at its best.
And the raw grit that it takes
exactly.
to cut out and carve out a world of your own.
And this is the kind of thing we're talking about. So let me give you some examples. Denise Bailey, she's going to come and talk about the orphan train. And that is one of the coolest things, you know, that I think a lot of people aren't aware of how interesting it is. You know, she has a really cool talk. Get on board, little children, the role of orphan trains in our changing landscape, about how, this is amazing, 1 in 25 Americans today has a connection to the orphan train riders.
Wow.
It was part of a movement from about the mid-19th century till about 1930 of the Children's Aid Society was getting the abused and homeless kids in New York City, the places throughout the Midwest and the South, and then the infants and the toddlers, a lot of people don't know about this, they were part of something called the Sisters of Charity's Foundling Hospital. And it's estimated by that, amazingly, Louisiana received more of these children from the baby trains than any other state because they tried to put them with Catholic households. And where do you have that in South Louisiana?
Right, yeah.
And so think about that. That's amazing. And these descendants now are spread out everywhere because they made things thrive. They worked hard in those farms and they were placed with these families and loved and nurtured as their own. Louisianans have a way of taking people in and helping them thrive within their own communities.
So let's look at, I mean, you've got a wide range of topics here that you're going to go cultural landscapes, landscapes and language, literary landscapes, politics and perception. And let's go through some of these and just highlight some of the things that folks are going to be able to learn and discuss and kind of enrich their lives over. Let's look at the cultural landscapes for one. Obviously, Cajun culture is one of those. Give us a lowdown or a layout of the different cultural landscapes in Louisiana.
Well, you know, and I need to preface this by letting everyone know that this is going to be Friday afternoon on the NSU campus in the Kappa building, Creative Performing Arts, and then Saturday from 8 a.m. till 4, and it's free.
Right.
Just join us. No reservation necessary. It's free. The presentation is going to be great, and there's Q&A at every one, and we have three or four presentation sessions at any one time. You know, and let me talk to you about the Saturday keynote. John Sharp is a folklorist and historian down at the University of Louisiana Lafayette. He is going to talk about Louisiana dance halls throughout Louisiana, ones that are still, you know, rolling now and ones that are, you know, at this point, an empty place in the parking lot. And he has discovered, he started out thinking there were about 175. Now he has documented over 1,700.
Wow.
These proliferated the landscape, and they were where people had their courtship rituals, where they ate, where they danced, where they sometimes settled some differences. But also they were hubs of their community for community information, and it's just a really dynamic thing. And so he's going to do a PowerPoint, and he's going to show us how these dotted the landscapes and also how they affected Louisiana dancing, Louisiana music, and have profoundly affected our cultures. That's really cool. And you know, that's our keynote on Saturday. Our Friday evening keynote is a little different. It's Allison Rittmeyer, and she is going to talk about the sort of the urban and rural noirs in Southern culture. And the thing about her talk is that she references a really cool quotation by Flannery O'Connor. O'Connor said, "Of course, I have found that anything that comes out of the South is going to be called grotesque by the Northern reader. Unless it is grotesque, in which case it is going to be called realistic." You know, that's the thing. That's kind of almost a theme of the conference, is challenging the kinds of perceptions that so many people have of Louisiana, in which they see us as, you know, other in this sort of mysterious, strange, dark way. You know, and people outside of Louisiana see us as either happy-go-lucky and always partying, or they see Louisianans as mysterious, and that's where voodoo is, and that's where these populations that we don't even know, what is Creole? Or are populations that they get to know down here, and they go, is Lainio, and even heard of that?
Right.
And so what they do is these people that are coming to the conference are trying to unpack some of those kinds of stereotypes or maybe misconceptions or sweeping generalizations, you know, and talking about what is the South really like. And so Rittmeyer is going to talk about how it's depicted in film.
Right.
And there's a lot of films and The True Detective, a lot of TV series that are huge, that people are getting the lowdown on what Louisiana's like. And, you know,
from Hollywood.
Exactly.
Which means you ain't getting the lowdown on anything other than a stereotype.
Right, right, right. The idea that everyone in Louisiana has this thick Southern drawl. The idea that all that people eat is gumbo and red beans and rice.
Right.
Or maybe jambalaya, but that's it, you know. And they don't realize the rich diversity of culture and the everyday life here is so much bigger than that.
So that steak and sweet corn I had last night wouldn't be on the menu.
No, not at all. Not at all. If it was sweet potatoes, we could maybe roll with that. But that's about it. You know, there's another one that's really neat. Lisa Kirby, hear this, the title of this presentation: Looking Beyond White Trash, Rednecks, and Bubbas, Exploring New Representations of the Louisiana Working Class. In other words, how people have, in a sense, essentialized so much of Louisiana's working class with these names, and how Americans like to give names to things so that they can then say, well, they understand it, or they're done with that, right?
We like to distill things into simplistic ideas that actually have no relevance in reality.
Yes, as if people can be shoved into little boxes.
Right, yeah.
You know, and what she's doing is she's interrogating this categorization of this dismissive and silly term, white trash, you know, which I think needs to be interrogated. And, you know, she is, you know, the really neat thing. She's from Collin College, and she's director of the Center for Working Class Studies. And so, you know, really what one of her life goals is to complicate and show us so many folks that these folks should not be demeaned in any way, and that the media does that. without us realizing it. And we don't want to buy into those stereotypes. Right, yeah.
Well, in different parts of the country do that to each other. I mean, that is, you know.
You're right.
You hear the phrase, the Northeast liberals, you know, or those, you know, those wimps out on the West Coast or whatever.
Right, right.
I mean, that's just, it's part of the American landscape, unfortunately,
yes.
To demean. So that comes part and parcel with America, unfortunately. But distilling and getting away from that and getting a more realistic point of view is what this is all about.
Exactly. I think it was Andrew Vox who basically said, that some of the worst fighting words you can hear are "you ain't from around here."
Right? Yeah.
and
you got to put a real draw on that too. You know?
Right. So, right. You know, this is tied part and parcel with the NSU Louisiana High School Essay Contest. And those young women and young men are going to come and read their essays at the conference, and these were just amazing essays, every one of them from throughout Louisiana. You know, Benjamin Harris Davis. Davidson wrote a great essay, All Hail King Rex, about his experiences with the parades.
Oh.
And, you know, spending all day, you know, getting there, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning. So you get that great spot, you know, for getting the beads. But also, it's not just that, because if it's just getting the beads, that people don't show up for that.
No.
They show up because their whole community comes out.
Right.
They show up because it's got the smell and the food and the joie de vivre and everyone that they know is part of that. And these essays are fantastic. The young people in Louisiana can write.
It's a real celebration of life.
Yes.
Which is really, when you get down to the markers of any particular microculture in America, it's all about the ways in which they celebrate life. They
yes.
may put a different twang on it, but it's still a celebration of life.
One of our winners, Anna Goodwin from Alexandria, she wrote The Miracle at Cabrini Hospital. Her brother had a severe medical problem, and he was at Cabrini. But she talks about how her whole community, from her pastor to the doctors who went above and beyond, to everyone around her, were, in a sense, ministering to her and right. getting her and her family, and then her brother, through that process.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just a miracle, the medical miracle. It was that. It was how she saw the social and the spiritual miracle and how they interwove as that community came together to support one family. And one son. What a neat thing. And when Louisiana's come together, it can be a powerful thing.
Yeah, exactly. So give us just a brief overview of some of the other different presentations that you've got.
You know, we have everything from, for example, get this. When I got this abstract, I knew I have to accept it. Mental Landscapes of Surgeons in 19th Century Louisiana. Who would not be interested in that? Christopher Thrasher is talking about how basically people see Louisiana doctors, you know, in the 19th century as just basically a hack with a hacksaw. And that's all that they were good for. That's all that they could do. And actually, these doctors pretty much had a lot of savvy, and they had a lot more understanding of how to treat things than we give them credit for.
Right.
And the kinds of thought processes that they went through as they traveled endlessly these dusty back roads, getting to these patients, and then had to just cope with whatever they found.
Right. Back when the doctor actually went to the patient.
Yes. Yeah, right, right.
Which is a different, you know, different mindset at all. But also that, you know, they may not have had anesthesia. They may have had limited, you know, technology. But they did have a fairly good understanding of the biochemistry of the human body and of folk remedies and how they could be actually applied as real. I mean, it all comes from that understanding of folk knowledge.
Exactly. You know, Christopher Gilson's going to talk about the Red River Flood of 1849. And how we still, the cause of the flood remains this mystery. Mm. That's really something, you know. Think about what we have going on right now,
right.
Where people are trying to figure out. We have these hurricanes that are, frankly, the biggest we've seen in maybe a long time or maybe ever. And it would be neat if we could figure out exactly the determinants, whether it's climate change or what about climate change it is.
Right.
And so how and what can we do about it in the future? I mean, this was, you know, 1/5 of the Red River Valley cotton crop was lost.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it was huge. And, of course, it affected the cities of Natchitoches and Alexandria so tremendously. I live in Natchitoches. To be honest, it gave me pause. I mean, if this were to happen, I'd probably lose my home.
Kind of wondering, maybe I'm too close to the river.
Do I need flood insurance?
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, and looking at Houston and now Florida, does anyone kind of laugh that one off anymore?
Right.
Because we don't know. And so, or for example, a really neat one about the Isleños way down south, you know, in St. Bernard Parish.
Right.
And these folks are basically, and how they employ signage in American to get people to go to their festival, to visit their museum, but the closer and closer and closer you get to the actual museum or the festival, the more it turns to Spanish. And so, in other words, the more they claim their identity as their own. And when you get there, you know, how everything is, so much of it is then in Spanish, which is just really neat, you know, and that transition. So, and Felice Coles talks about how it keeps English basically as this tie to the larger American society, but it's Spanish as that historically genuine means of their ethnic communication. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on at the conference, and you're going to learn. It's guaranteed you're going to learn something about Louisiana. You could have lived here your whole life. You're going to learn something because it's just too rich for any of us to know.
So any other things that you want to kind of highlight about this? That it sounds exciting. I mean, there's so many papers that are going to be really just fascinating.
Well, you know, we have some really great creative writers. Last count, I think, 5 or 6 different poets and the fiction writers as well who are going to join us. And they're going to talk about some of their life experiences or the life experiences of their ancestors. One of them is going to talk about a child who was related to her who grew up during the Great Depression in Louisiana and how it, you know, it seems so traumatic to us. But for the child at the time, she saw it as neighbors coming together, mm-hmm. as there was certainly deprivation, but it was manageable.
Right.
And how, in the sense, you had this family unit that was large and expansive, but that was basically the building blocks of a community that wasn't going to let you go without. That's just really cool. So, in other words, this child doesn't remember having that,
right.
it being a horrible time. They remember it being actually a really close time. That's great.
It's all about perspective.
Yes.
You know, sometimes the worst deprivation actually brings out the most humanity. And the greatest, you know, gifts, you know, of material possessions sometimes can bring out the worst selfishness. It's interesting.
That is. But, you know, the neat thing about Harvey and now Irma is that so many people are coming out of the woodwork.
Right, exactly.
You know, to help out in so many ways. And, you know, that speaks also of Louisiana because Louisianans can be generous. So I want to just invite anyone listening to come on out. This is a free experience. We just want you to join us because we want to celebrate all things Louisiana. It's Friday, September 22nd from 2:30 until 7, and then Saturday from 9 o'clock until 4. And again, presentations, sessions all day long. If you need information, call 318-357-4332, 318-357-4332. That's the number for the Louisiana Folklife Center, and we will get you all the information you might need.
Shane, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
That was Shane Rasmussen, and he's the director of the Louisiana Folklife Center and an associate professor of English at Northwestern State University in Natchitoches. And he joined me this morning in our Knoll Foundation studios to talk about the 9th Annual Louisiana Studies Conference. It's going to take place this weekend, September 22nd and 23rd at Northwestern State University. If you'd like more information about the conference, you can visit their website at louisianafolklife.nsula.edu. Again, that's louisianafolklife.nsula.edu. Or you can call them at 318-357-4332. That's 318-357-4332. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.